Okay, so turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me introduce this with asking you a question. And that question is, why are you here? Why are you here? And let me qualify that. I don't mean, why are you sitting here in this sanctuary on September 15th of 2019 in North Liberty? I'm asking you more of an existential question. Why do you exist? Why has God placed you where you're at this place in time? Those are big questions that matter, that determine how we live our lives, but there's sometimes things we don't really pay attention to. I first became a Christian in 1988, after growing up not attending a church, not having any real understanding of what the Bible said. I came here to college 3 years in. My wife, girlfriend at the time, invited me to church. We started coming to Grace. I started reading a Bible. God saved me. I became a Christian. And then in 1990, I'm having breakfast with Keith Carlson, who was the senior pastor here at Grace at the time. And he asked me the question, why did God save you? And I thought about it for about 2 seconds. And I said, well, so that I could go to heaven. He said, That's a result. But if that's the reason God saved you, why didn't he just take you from here to there? I mean, he's left you here. What's the purpose of you being here if the purpose of him saving you was to get you to heaven?
I don't know.
So I didn't actually use that voice. It was probably a different voice. But anyway, he asked me to open my Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the passage that we are going to sit in for 3 more weeks. We're already there. Yes, last week, but 4 weeks we're going to take a look at this passage because we need to understand the same question: why are we here? Why are you here? So let's read it. The passage we're going to cover this morning, and then we'll pray and we'll get right to it. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who, through Christ, gave us the ministry of reconciled us to himself and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we're his ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we, in him, we might become the righteousness of God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for reconciling us to yourself. Thank you that your son, Jesus, as Steve was talking during the worship set, he didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, for giving us the gift of your righteousness, and for putting your Holy Spirit in us and sealing us and setting us aside for your work and for your glory. Lord, help us to understand the gospel, to live according to it, not in our own strength, but in your strength. And help me to preach in such a way that Jesus is exalted today. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's get to the text here. Last week, this is the verse we covered, and honestly, to my satisfaction, we didn't spend enough time in the text, so we're going to make up for it. This is last week. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What we do while we're here flows out of who we are. Make sense? What we do has to flow from our identity. Who we are. That is the most important question you can ask. Before we talk about what our purpose is, we need to know who we are. Who we are? We are new creations in Christ. Last week we talked about this. We used to be dead in our trespasses and sins. This is true of every single one of us, in which we used to live when we followed our flesh in the ways of this world. We were by nature, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, object of God's wrath. But in verse 4 of Ephesians 2, Paul says, but God, rich in his mercy, made us alive in Christ. He made us alive in Christ, even when we were still dead. And it's by grace through faith that you've been saved. So by the grace of God, the free gift, Christ took on human flesh, took your sins, took my sins, bore them on the cross, separated your sins and my sins as far as the east is from the west. The scripture says he remembers those sins no more, and he imputed or gifted to us his righteousness. In other words, his accomplishments, his law keeping is now given to us as a gift. And God sees you, God sees me, those of us who are in Christ. He sees us as his adopted children. He sees us as royalty. He sees us as perfect in Christ. He sees us as holy, and we are known to him as his saints. You say, well, I don't feel like any of those things. Doesn't matter. That's who you are. That's who we are in Christ, provided, of course, that we are in Christ. We talked a little bit about that last week. So that's who we are. We have been reconciled. So he reconciled us to himself, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So before, when we were dead in our sins, Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says that we, by our very natures, were hostile to God. We were hostile towards him and couldn't please him and didn't want to please him. We only lived to please ourselves. So we were hostile, in a state of enmity or a state of hostility. And so hence we needed reconciliation. When you're at odds with someone, when you make up, you call it, we reconciled. So we needed to be reconciled to God. And so he reconciled us to himself, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And then he qualifies, just to be sure so you understand what I mean by reconciliation. What I mean is that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. So at one time, we were all, in a sense, rebel insurgents against Christ. But and what are rebel insurgents? When you're at odds with a government, rebel insurgents tend to be taken out, right? Well, that's not God's MO. He doesn't take us out. He stands in our stead, and he receives the just penalty that we deserve, and he gives us the reward that he deserves. That's what it means to be in Christ. So we've been reconciled. And then we've been given, he's been entrusted with us the message of reconciliation. So now we are in a new creations in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And there's a term that Paul says that is now ours. This is part of our identity. It's who we are. And that is here in verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So I'm sitting in Perkins in 1990, and so Keith asked me to read this text, and I read it, and so then he says, okay, now, why did God save you? So I could be an ambassador. Ding, 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 ding. That's it? I'm saved so that I could be a representative of my king. There's different ways to answer that question correctly. I could have said, I'm saved to bring glory and honor to my king, which isn't spelled out here, but I'm saved so that I could be an ambassador who brings glory and honor to his king. So let's work with a definition first of all. If we're called ambassadors, what is an ambassador? This is from Webster's Dictionary. An ambassador is an accredited diplomat, in other words, accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. Now, this is a 21st century definition. So I want you to contextualize this to the first century. There was no such thing as a government by the people and for the people in the first century. You're aware of this, right? There was no such thing as voter rights or human rights. There were empires like the Roman Empire and the Greeks before them and the Babylonians before them and the Egyptians before them. And they ruled with an iron hand, and they were represented by one man, a monarch, and that would be the king. And you, in absolute fealty and loyalty, bowed to that king or you lost your head. So if we were to look at this in the first century, because Paul is saying we are ambassadors, and he's thinking first century ambassadors. He's not thinking Terry Branstad in China ambassador, representing the Constitution, the people of the United States of America, and the government by the people for the people. Paul's thinking you're representing a sovereign king, a sovereign king. So that's his understanding of ambassador. So it's an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. So let's take a look at three things this morning. The ambassador's king. Who is the king that you and I, if we're in Christ, represent? The ambassador's home. What's our home country? Because an ambassador doesn't live in his home country. He lives in a foreign country as a representative of his king. And third, what's the ambassador's duties? What do we do on a day-to-day basis? By the way, I'm going to keep stressing this. Everything we do always flows out of who we are. If you stop and you focus just on who you are, independent of what you do, you're going to run into trouble. It's going to be difficult. So, the ambassador's king. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, that word Christ is not a proper name like Simpson or Brooks. It is a title. The Greek word is Christos. It's the Greek word for the Hebrew word, which is translated in English Messiah. So it's the Greek word for Messiah. Therefore, we are ambassadors for our Messiah. That's who we represent, which is Christ, the Lord Jesus, born of a virgin, crucified under Pontius Pilate, dying for our sins, rising on the third day according to the scriptures. So that's our king. That's who he is. Now, he says that we, who is the we? The we is a first person plural pronoun. We. Who does we represent? It's not a trick question. Just want to take a stab. Who's included in we?
Us.
Yes. Us. You, me. If you are in Christ, you are part of the we. You are the us. We are. Us, we're all ambassadors for Christ. This is not, he's not simply saying we as in the 12, the apostles, we as in the original disciples who were in the upper room, or we as in the church that he's writing to in Corinth. He's we as in the body of Christ, all Christians for all time. We all are ambassadors, representatives for Christ. Another way of looking at this is to look at Paul's introduction in his letters to, say, Romans. I have two examples here, Romans and Galatians, where he introduces himself. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Let's make it clear here. The word servant, Paul says, I am a servant. The Greek word is doulos. It means servant, bondservant, and or slave. A servant in this context is someone who is under the authority, the sovereign rulership of someone above them, and the person who is a servant, a doulos, a slave, whatever term that's translated into, has no rights of their own. Their will is to do the will of their king, their master. So Paul says, I am a doulos, I am a bondservant, I am a slave of Christ, called to be an apostle. Now, that's where we are not apostles. Paul was called to be an apostle, but we are servants. So an apostle is a type of ambassador, and there were 12. The Holy Spirit used them to give us the scriptures. Okay, so we're not talking about apostleship. We're talking about ambassadorship, servanthood, of which all of us are. Here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, well, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. So you can't be on you have to be an ambassador of someone. Either I'm trying to please men or I'm trying to please my king. Paul says, I'm trying to please my king. And that's what an ambassador is. It's someone who is a representative of their king. And our king is Jesus. Now, practical question before we move on here, and that is, practically speaking, who is your king? Who is your king? That is easy. If you're a Christian, you know the Sunday school answer is Jesus. Very good, very good. That's what every kindergartner can say, and the answer is always Jesus, unless it's who tempted Eve. Don't say Jesus, say the serpent. Okay, but usually the answer is Jesus. So you can say, yes, Jesus is my king. Yeah, whatever. Here, let me ask it another way. Who do you bow your knee to every morning? In other words, who calls the shots in your life? That's a different question, which is actually the same question. Because if you answer this, Who calls the shots? Who determines what you do in your with your leisure time? Who determines how you treat other people? Who determines how you spend your money? Who determines what you do with your life? Whether you choose to remain single or get married? Where do these? How do you filter those life-altering decisions? Or, never mind life-altering, those mundane day-to-day decisions. Do you bow the knee every morning and say, Lord Jesus, you are my King. How would you have me live life today? How would you have me serve my wife, my children? How would you have me live amongst my peers at the University of Iowa as a student? How would you have me live and carry out my work at ACT or the university or the mechanic shop? How would you have me be a mom who stays home and takes care of my kids, or a mom who is working and has to come home? Lord, how would you have me do the day-to-day things that I'm doing? What would you have me do? If we are not regularly asking those questions, then the answer to the question, practically speaking, who is my King? Moi. I'm King. I live as King. I make my own decisions. I don't seek the Lord on any of those things. Now, unfortunately, I think many people in the body of Christ, if they were honest with themselves, they would say that there are times when they forget that they're ambassadors and they don't practically live as if they had a King didn't wear their pants. Okay, they would have to admit that. And I, like last week, I opened the sermon with a kind of a confession of my own weakness and failure. That's an indication, that's proof to you that I don't always consistently live as a doulos, a servant of Christ, as an ambassador, but oftentimes I live and act as if I'm still somehow the King of my life, which is absurd. And so I have to repent of that. So the first thing I would ask you to do is ask yourself that question. Who is my King? Who do I bow my knee to? Who calls the shots in my life? Do I give Christ the authority to call the shots in my life? Or do I just make my own decisions and consult him and cry out to him when my decisions have gotten me into a mess? How many of you have called on the name of the Lord Jesus when you're in a bind? Okay, most of you, all of you, if you're honest. Okay, we're not talking about that. We're talking about when do I bend my knee when I'm not in a bind, before I get in the bind. An ambassador is at all times bending the knee to Christ and saying, Lord, what would you have me do? So move on to the second part here, the ambassador's home. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. An ambassador is a representative of the sovereign nation they came from to the nation they are in. So Paul is saying, we are ambassadors, we are not at home. Back it up, this is earlier in chapter 5, same chapter, same book, 2 Corinthians. Paul says, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. We'd rather be away from the body and what? At home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. So we know from John chapter 14 that Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. And then we know that Jesus ascended into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He said, we're to go and make disciples of all nations. We are ambassadors, but we're not home. We're not home. See, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, we are new creations. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The old way of thinking, when we were not in Christ, when we were in the flesh, we were dead in our sins, we used to view this place, this everything under the sun, like the book of Ecclesiastes. We tried to find our meaning under the sun, in life's possessions, in the acquirement of food and drink and sex and things which are all given as gifts of God. We try to define our lives according to these things. And we would try to acquire money and homes and security and so forth and so on. And that's where a home is. And so we hold on to the things that are near and dear to us at home. And how many of those things can we actually keep? None of them. You're going to lose everything. All of it. Your relationships, They're all going to die, or you will. Your home, you're going to die, or it will fall to the ground. You can't take your money with you. Everything that in this life we think is part of our country and we live for ultimately just goes up in smoke. It's all vanity, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. It's a chasing after the wind. But if we view that as our home, there's all sorts of anxiety and we live for the wrong things. But if you recognize that new has come, now you're a new creation in Christ, you recognize that your home isn't here, and these things which God has given you in this temporary place are not bad things, they're good things, but not to be held on to as the ultimate meaning in life. When you see that your home is away from this place and with him, and by the way, when I say away from this place with him, I'm not talking about some immaterial, ethereal universe where we sit around clouds and strum harps. No, the new heavens and the new earth will be brought together, and when Christ returns, and it'll be physical. You'll be able to touch it. We'll be eating. We'll be drinking. You may not play harp. You may play the bass in a praise band that brings glory and honor to your king in a multinational setting. I don't know, but it's not anything that we can get our heads around. But that's our home. This is temporary, and we're ambassadors to our king there. And so ask yourself, do I view this place as my home, or is it just a place where I'm passing through? If you view it as home, you will be riddled with anxiety when the things which you could never hold on to begin to be pried from your hands. Your health, your relationships, your money, all of these things. You can keep none of them. All of you are going to get old. And all of you are eventually going, well, that's not true. Some of you might not get old. You might just kick the bucket this afternoon. It happens. But the point is if you're trying to hold on to everything in this life, and this home is truly your home, you'll always be riddled with anxiety, and you'll never have enough. You'll never be able to be content, because this world is a shadow of the world that is to come, which is the ultimate reality, and that ultimate reality is to be enjoyed, celebrated in the presence and the glory of Christ face to face, personally, which is future tense. So that's the ambassador's home. Let's take a look at the ambassador's duty. Therefore, we are ambassadors, God making his appeal through us. There is something to do. If you back it up in verse 18, he has reconciled us to himself, and he's given us what? What's it say? What's he given to us? Ministry of reconciliation. The word ministry here means service. So we have been given the ministry, the opportunity, the service of reconciliation. That's something you do with your hands and your feet. Later on here in verse 20, verse 19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against us, and entrusting. So he's given us a responsibility, entrusting us with what? With what? The message of reconciliation. So this is something that needs to be communicated verbally or writtenly. There needs to be something said. Well, what is the message of reconciliation? The message of reconciliation is that Jesus Christ has taken our sins upon himself, and he has died for our sins, and he's given us the gift of his righteousness and a pardon from sin and the Holy Spirit. That's a very condensed version of the gospel. Very condensed. So that's the message. That's the good news. The word gospel, euangelion, which is Greek, it just simply means good news. It's a cry. Hey, good news. This is really important. You and I have, that Christ has died for our sin. That's the good news. That's a message that needs to be communicated, verbalized, taught, understood. And he says, God making his appeal through us. That is probably one of the more mind-blowing statements in the New Testament. Here's why I say it's mind-blowing. If it depended upon you, would anyone ever hear the message? Do you understand what God has done? I mean, you look at us in these clay jars. We talked about that last week. These leaky vessels, these weak, sin-prone individuals who tend to be lazy and selfish and so forth. So God says, I'm entrusting this to you. That almost seems foolish. Why would you do that? Now, to be clear, he doesn't give us the message or entrust this message to us without also giving us the Holy Spirit. We learn in John 14, John 15, John 16, Acts 2, over and over and over again, that he hasn't just given us, hey, do this. He's like, no, do this, but receive me. Receive the Holy Spirit. I'll give you the words. I'll equip you. I'll give you the courage. But as an ambassador, if you bow your knee to me, if you bow your knee to me and you submit to me and you take a step of faith, I'll make the ground solid where you step. I will give you the words, I'll give you the opportunity, and I'll empower you with what to say, and I'll help you be equipped. So we're not left to ourselves, but we are entrusted with a message of reconciliation, as if God makes his appeal through us. As I said before, John Piper said, missions exist because worship does not. So look around you in this culture. Where does worship not exist? All over the... Well, let me strike that. Worship exists everywhere. Worship of Christ does not exist everywhere. And so, therefore, we are ambassadors to represent him, God making his appeal through us. We've been entrusted with the message of reconciliation. Therefore, be ambassadors. As a church, as Grace Community Church, it is our ambition that every single one of you would find your identity in Jesus Christ and you would see yourself as his representative. Do not hear me say that it is our ambition or our desire that each one of you vocationally go into ministry. That's not a correct application of the Perkins breakfast in 1990. For me, that's the direction God took me. For you, it might take you in a different path. Regardless of whether you are a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, a vocational pastor, a single person, a married person, a mom, a dad, or someone who does not have children, in the ministry, working for the university, it does not matter. We are all called to be ambassadors. So don't hear me say that God's calling all of you to go into vocational ministry. That is not the application here. An ambassador does not mean employed by a church. An ambassador means representative of Christ where we are. So, application. What do we do with this? Step one. The first thing is as it says in 1 John chapter 2, that we are to be like Christ, we ought to walk as he walked. So as he walked, we are walking. That's what a disciple does, a follower of Christ. So what's our next steps? Step one is to be reconciled. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Not all of you have entered into a faith relationship with Jesus. Some of you are here. You've been coming for a while. You've been checking this out. This is newer to you, and that's okay. I came to Grace in 1988, didn't own a Bible, so it was new to me. It's new to some of you. You're not sure what you believe. Your first step is to find out who Christ is. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open. This is what you ask, you seek, you follow. You ask these questions. And once God has given you a clear picture of who Jesus is and what he's done, you come to him. You say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You are a Messiah. I'm starting to learn this. I don't know all of what it means, but I know this. I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Save me. Make me your child. Make me that new creation. The Bible says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. This promise is for you. It's for your children. It's for all who call on the name of the Lord, it says in Acts chapter 2. This is for all of us. And that is the first step. Be reconciled. Hence, Paul says, I implore you. Second, evaluate. Do I think like an ambassador or more like a king? And if the answer is, there's a lot of kingly attributes that I have absconded for myself, that I've tend to take on roles that are actually only Jesus's role, well, then simply confess those things. One of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It's a verse that all of us should memorize because we use it a lot, or we should use it a lot. Just had a mental block. That's perfect. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In other words, we should be on a regular basis. When I recognize I'm acting like a king again, I'm supposed to simply go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I did it again this morning. I treated my family as if somehow I'm the king and not the ambassador. Lord, I confess that to you as sin. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Purify me and make me more like your son. I want to be an ambassador. I don't want to live like this anymore. That's just called repentance as a believer, not a non-believer. And then it says that I'm forgiven and also that I'm purified for, and I'm made righteous. The Holy Spirit begins to do that work in us. Next, step three. As an ambassador, we have a specific context, and those contexts are different. So however many people are in this room, you are the only ambassador that could reach the people that God has put in contact with you. You have a specific mission, a specific duty. So what country, if you will? And by country, I don't mean geographical borders. What's your sphere of influence? Some of you are students at the university. Some of you are students in high school, junior high. Some of you are in the workplace. You're in the marketplace. You own a small business. You work for the university. You're in the medical profession. Some of you live in a cul-de-sac in North Liberty. You live on a street in Iowa City. You live out in the country, wherever. God has put people around you in all these vicinities, and you are an ambassador, and you represent Christ to those people. And only you can represent Christ to those people, because God has sovereignly put you in this place and this time for this purpose, that you would be an ambassador in this time. So assess, where has God placed you? Relationally, geographically, vocationally. And then who does God want you to minister to? I'd like you to take out the card, which is in the seat back in front of you. We mentioned a couple weeks ago that we wanted to give you opportunities, various opportunities to commit, to do something tangible. And so this card is for that purpose. You're going to see boxes on the in the foyer. As you come in, you'll see them, and as you exit, you'll see them, and there's slots in the top. You can make commitments, depending on what the commitment is, and indicate as such. So what are these? What are these? This little card here, who will you bring in? In other words, who's in my sphere of influence? God wants to use all of us. He's entrusted us the message of reconciliation. So how are we going to use our ambassadorship, if you will? Three different ways to commit. I commit to pray consistently for new faith for two friends. Are there two people in your life that don't know Christ that you'll commit to pray for on a regular basis? Secondly, I commit to inviting a friend to learn more about the Bible with me. This could look like you meeting for coffee with them. This could look like you inviting them to a small group or a Bible study. This could look like you inviting them to the series, The Story of God, which starts in October, which is going to be specifically designed to see the gospel throughout all of Scripture. Who is it that God is saying, calling you to take that step of faith and be an ambassador to? And the third one is a little bit more specific. I commit to learning ways that I can welcome an international student or a refugee. Here in Iowa City, we have thousands of either students and or refugees that have come to Iowa City, North Liberty, Coralville area from the 1040 window. That's a missions term, where the gospel is most restricted in the world. And they're here. They're here. Sudanese refugees, international students from all over the world. So we're just simply giving you opportunities, ways that you can actually make those commitments. Now, you say, well, Brooks, why do you want us to let you know? Why do we have to let you know? A couple different reasons. How many of you have done the following? You come to church, you're convicted by a message, and you resolve to do something, and you're moved in your heart, and then you leave, go to lunch, and do nothing. How many of you? Honestly? Okay, probably all of you at one point, right? If you check, you know what? I've been moved of the Spirit. I want to commit to do this. And then you put your name and your email on it. We're going to email you and say, hey, here's an opportunity to follow up. And you're like, oh, dang it. I did make that commitment, didn't I? So it's just accountability, and we all need it. And it's not just accountability. I want you to take this little card here, the little fold out here, the 2+ card. This is a tutorial on how to practically be equipped to actually do this. Wade Summers on staff, part-time staff with us in outreach. This is an InterVarsity publication, this little card, the 2+ prayer card. And he created a tutorial where he was teaching a class, some people on our staff. Here's how you use this, and here's how you can be equipped to actually do this. So if you say, yes, I'll be committed to do that, we'll send you an email to the link. So you, maybe your small group, your community group, can go through this together. It's less than 7 minutes. It's not a huge commitment. But this is an awesome opportunity to begin to reframe your mind in terms of how you see yourself in context with the people around you. They're no longer workers or friends that just simply increase your joy quotient or your bottom line. Now they're souls with an identity which may or may not be in Christ, and you have a heart for them, the same kind of heart that God has for. And so we want to equip, encourage you. So this is actually on the YouTube. Go to Grace B3. That's our YouTube place. And then the video is InterVarsity 2+ card tutorial. So that's just a way that you can do that. So how would you do this? Some of you know exactly who you want to pray for. By the way, you don't have to tell us who you're praying for. We're just asking you to commit to pray for someone. You're like, heck yes, I'm in. I'm all over this. And some of you are like, oh, I'm inviting them. You know what you're going to do. For you, as you exit, you can fill it out. And then you just drop that in there. And we'll begin praying for you. We'll give you more information on how to be equipped in certain areas of ambassadorship, if you will. For some of you, you're like, you know what? I just got to confess, I'm not even sure if I'm reconciled to God. The Story of God little booklet that's also in here, this is for you. This is to walk you through how to come to know Christ, how to know Christ personally. Or you can take this and also give it away to other people as an ambassador. But either way, that's your first step. For some of you, you're like, oh man, this is all so much. I know I'm in Christ. I just don't know. I don't even know where to start. I haven't really thought about my spheres of influence. I would encourage you not to drop this in the box, but take it home, put it in your Bible, and spend time in prayer. The memory verse for this week is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. We are therefore ambassadors of Christ, so as if God is making his appeal through us. So as you're looking at your memory verse, as you're spending time in prayer, begin to ask the Lord, Lord, who would you want me to pray for? Am I willing to make a commitment? Am I willing? And so then when God, the Holy Spirit reveals to you, yes, this is what I want you to do, then you can come back and drop that in that box next week or the week after. The point is we want to avoid what James describes in his epistle, where he says that there are many who hear the word of God and, like men who see their reflection in a mirror, go away and forget what they've seen. How many of us have done that? Moved by a particular sermon, I'm going to make a step, and then, oh yeah, after I go to Village Inn, and then it's gone. Poof. We've forgotten what it is we were initially convicted of. So we want to help you make those commitments and then follow through so that we are a church of ambassadors on a mission and God building a movement in and through us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. We confess right now that everything that we aspire to do is absolutely, emphatically impossible apart from a work of the Spirit that's in us. And we thank you that your word says that you will and work through us. You even give us the will. Lord, we're asking for the will. There's a lot of people here as they're looking at this whole ambassador concept. It's kind of scary to live for you. And Lord, but it's what we're called to. So Lord, give us the courage, give us the faith to step out in boldness. And Lord, equip us to that end, Lord, so that Christ might be exalted and that you might be worshiped here in Iowa City, in North Liberty, in Coralville, the state of Iowa, the nation that we live, to the very ends of the earth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, go in grace, and we will see you next week.